Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough continuing on this busy Tuesday. And will it happen? Will it not happen? If it happens, will it mean anything? That's the questions that have been being asked about Alvin Bragg's potential indictment and arrest of former President Trump. And as of this conversation, I don't believe that has yet occurred. But joining me is former prosecutor Andy McCarthy, who is, of course, a senior fellow with National Review and writes about legal matters all the time. One of the best pundits on TV as it relates to a bunch of this stuff. And he writes on Twitter today that progressive Democrat Bragg's motivation in nakedly political indictment of Trump is what, Andrew McCarthy?
I think it's to get Trump nominated because the Democrats think they can beat him in 2024. That, you know, I think that's part of it, at least, Kevin. The other thing I think we should probably be more mindful of, we're very federal centric in the media. But, you know, while federal prosecutors are appointed by the president and vetted by the Senate to at least to try to make sure that they're not going to use their power as a political weapon. In the states, and in New York in particular, district attorneys and state attorney generals, those are elected positions. Alvin Bragg, it's probably better for us to think of him as an elected progressive Democrat than just a law enforcement official.
Right. But you know what's interesting, Andy, about this particular case is that his predecessor, Cy Vance, looked at the same evidence that Bragg did and said, no, we don't really have anything here to work with, and took a pass on it. What, from a legal standpoint, for my listeners that aren't lawyers, what is in essence the charge, and what are they hoping to try to contort this into to in some way be able to impact him?
Yeah, Kevin, it's interesting. Bragg himself looked at this case a year ago and decided not to pursue it. So that's how sketchy it is. But basically, what they're looking at is a charge of falsification of business records, which is a misdemeanor under New York law, but it can be inflated into a felony, a Class E felony, meaning it's punishable by up to 4 years imprisonment. If a prosecutor could prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant falsified the records for purposes of concealing another crime. And the problem Bragg has is, you know, it's going to be hard enough to prove that this was actually misdemeanor falsification of records. It doesn't appear that he has another crime. And even if he could show that there was some other crime hovering around here, like campaign finance or, you know, some tax violation or whatnot, he'd have to prove not only that the crime was enmeshed in all this, but that Trump intended by falsifying the records to conceal the crime. And the two problems you have with that is, number one, Trump was not in charge of the Trump Organization records, so he may not have known exactly how they booked it. But the other thing is, it seems obvious that the reason that Trump would have falsified the records if he did was to prevent the embarrassment that was the reason for entering into the non-disclosure arrangement with Stormy Daniels in the first place. Namely, he didn't want to be embarrassed with his wife, and right. He didn't want to take the political damage. But that doesn't mean he was concealing a felony.
Yeah. Well, Andy, isn't it somewhat true? I mean, I've only known a handful of billionaires in my life, but I've known a couple, and I've asked them over the last couple of years around this case, you know, just because it's an NDA and just because there's money involved, that never means that the person that's doing it is admitting to anything that the accuser is saying. And in fact, in many cases, in instances where you have very wealthy and very powerful people, they will enter into these things all the time just to get a nuisance to go away. And yeah, at that point in time, this is so bizarre, because I remember Bill Clinton paying $850,000 to Paula Jones to get her to be quiet. Yeah. You know, this seems really, really, if there's anything there at all, it seems so minor that and the other question I had is, what is the statute of limitations on all this?
Yeah. So all good questions. You're quite right that the non-disclosure agreement is completely legal. It's a staple of our system, particularly civil litigation. For purposes of what Bragg is trying to do here, Kevin, it really doesn't even matter whether, Stormy Daniels' allegation of an affair with Trump is true or not true, because the issue is not the non-disclosure agreement itself. It's how it was booked on the Trump company record.
Right.
Regardless.
Which, if I understand correctly, they put legal services on a line that showed a payment to his lawyer. Like, I mean, even in that, it's just a little bit.
Yeah, what they would say about that is that the real reason for this was a reimbursement of a debt that Trump owed to Michael Cohen, who laid out the money for the non-disclosure agreement in 2016. And they made it look on the books like it was the payment of legal fees during 2017. So, that's inaccurate. If Trump understood that was what they were doing, you could say that, Bragg may have a misdemeanor case here, but you'd have to try to show another felony to get it up to a felony, which I don't think he has. And it's important for the reason that you just pointed out, which is the statute of limitations. For a misdemeanor in New York, the statute of limitations is 2 years. For a felony, it's 5 years. So to get into the 2023 ballpark, Bragg probably has to be able to prove that this was a felony. But I really think that provision is for, fugitives from justice who are trying to evade prosecution. I don't think it's intended to apply to someone like Trump, who was simply living openly and notoriously outside the jurisdiction.
Well, and he didn't give up his residence in New York either, I don't think. I mean, he technically moved his residence to Florida, but I think he still has an apartment here in the city.
Correct.
Well, it's interesting because I don't know how you get even with 5 years. So say you have 5 years from the date of the act. We're in 23. Where's the math that puts October of 16 plus 5 into anywhere beyond 21?
Yeah, I think what Bragg would say is it was 2017. The last payment to Cohen is December 5th of 2017.
Okay.
So the business year of 2017 would have been accounted for in the 2018 taxes. So in other words, those records generate other records that you rely on to do the closeout.
Usually,
you close out the following year, right?
So he's trailer hitching the records access as part of the crime that he needs. Because if you're going back to the date of when the crime was committed, it's when they put it in the ledger.
Well, except they're putting every payment in the ledger, and then they're paying their taxes based on the way that they book the payments.
Yeah, so the last payment would be the one that he would say triggers
December,
that. But even that takes us to just December of 22. I don't know, Andy. It seems one of the thinnest. And I know so many prosecutors looked at this and said, no, there's absolutely nothing there. I mean, if you were still prosecuting, would you have taken this case?
No, I think there's no one in New York, a city of 8 or 9 million people, not named Donald Trump, who would ever, ever have been charged with this.
That's a very powerful statement, a good place to end. Andrew, great job on TV. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much, Kevin.
There he goes, former big-time prosecutor Andrew McCarthy, and, of course, one of the senior writers at National Review, giving us the real, just nuts and bolts. It doesn't get more direct than that. There is literally nothing here. And yet the rumor goes on, the rumor persists. And we'll have to see where it all lands. Kevin McCullough coming right back. We've got a lot more straight ahead.